it's all over, baby. Yeah.
Hey.
What's up? We did it.
You did it. You made it a whole year.
Is it the end of the year? Oh, my God.
Yeah. You made it the whole way. What was the hardest part?
Well, my dad died.
This year?
Yeah.
Damn. It's been a long year.
Dang.
Might have been the hardest part for me.
Wow. That was the same year. Man, it's so much different.
I know.
I can't believe that's one in the same year. That seems like so long ago.
I know. Hard to believe.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's been a long one. But it's fast. It's also fast.
Yeah, I know. Another way it's fast, yeah.
It seems a long time ago, but it goes by real fast.
Okay, but this one is probably, is a really lot happened in this one year.
A lot happened this year.
That's what, it just feels like a lot happened.
Yeah, just, everybody's
I mean, a lot happened.
I mean, that's got to be true for everybody, or is it? I mean, is everybody having increasingly crazier years every year and we're about to explode as a whole universe or something weird, though? Is everybody's having crazier and crazier years since, remember, about 2016 or 14, something got, like, really out of control? Every sports game ended in overtime and everybody's life went insane and everything crazy happened all the time forever. Is that not what we're in?
I don't think so. I feel like I've been through many years where it felt more or less the same throughout the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like no real big changes. But for some reason, this year has been a big one for some of us.
Some of us have had a big year.
Yeah.
Toby, think about Kanye. Think about Kanye's year. What about Kanye's year?
You think your year is bigger? You think your year was worse than Kanye or better?
Oh, his is worse for sure.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
but he wouldn't say that though.
No, he'd say it's a.
He'd say it's been a great year,
awakening,
like an awakening year or something.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. He would have to say that.
Yeah, man, he would say that this year has been something special.
He'd say it might be the best year of his life. That's probably what. Yeah. I think he would have to say that. Like, I bet you internally he does say that. I do probably think that is probably true. That he does think that.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
He really believes it, though.
Toby, how about this for you? Out of all your years, how does this one rank? Out of just, you know, out of 46, what number is this, actually, if you had to rank it?
I'd say the beginning of the year was real shaky and rough. And then I thought, you know what? That springtime, things are looking up. It went way worse.
Yeah.
So after spring, it got way worse, and then it got worse. So summer and fall, boy, man, it was real bad.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I'd say, you know, come November, December, things are doing better. That's probably the truth. I think in some ways, it's like a roller coaster. Life is like a roller coaster, guys.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's really fun, and sometimes you're really scared, and sometimes you're like, oh, no, I'm going to throw up. And then sometimes you think you're going to die. And then other times you're like, whoa, man, I'm so glad did that.
Some years you're just in a nice little bumper car. Mm-hmm. You're having fun with your kids. It's real simple. But some years you're on the vortex, just screaming for your life. You know, Toby hanging upside down. I mean, I would have never. I mean, I don't think I would have ever guessed. If you'd asked me on January 1st, if you had said, hey, there's going to be something unbelievably crazy happen this year, can you guess what it'll be? And I don't think I would have guessed. I don't think I would have guessed it.
That Toby's divorce would be the thing.
Yeah, I think I would have guessed maybe somebody dies or it's like a crazy.
But your dad did die.
My dad did die. Yes.
Yeah. So that did happen.
But
also.
I would have maybe that could have been guessable.
Yeah.
You know
that would
have
been on the possible guesses.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Toby, but what about other years? What's the second? If this is, I mean, first of all,
is this
the worst? And if so or not, what's the other top two?
Well, that's what I'm
out
saying.
Of all like, you could say when you were one, maybe it was horrible, but what was bad?
I was probably so it's weird when you talk about the whole year. That's what's kind of interesting about this question. If you went to a certain day of this year, it would be the worst day of my whole life ever.
Okay,
no
so you
what.
Did so the year most people would have a high correlation of the worst day of their life would probably fall in the worst year of their life. That would be true for many most people. Right.
But
so.
but I would say this isn't my worst year. I mean
what
we've
was
had some
the worst
rough
one
ones.
Though.
Well, I mean, 2019 was real bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was real bad. I mean, 2019 was when my best friend, you know,
yeah,
it was really mean.
And I was like,
I never talked to him again after that
best
year.
Best explanation yet.
I mean, it was just like, well,
he was
happened.
Mean and we never talked to him again. I like it.
That is pretty crazy. You've had two of the worst years of your life in the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Recently and publicly, by the way.
Recently and publicly.
Sorry.
Very publicly.
Recently and publicly, you've had two of the two worst years of your life. Yeah. Okay.
And I could understand from an outside point of view, I was a part of both of those. So it seems like maybe
the
I'm the problem.
Element yeah. is you. Wait till next year.
Oh man, maybe things are just starting.
But is there any years in your all the way back? We've had to go back though.
I mean, it was super scary when Jess had cancer. I mean, when she had cancer, I was very scared and I didn't know what that would mean. I thought, you know, before we found out the diagnosis, that you know, I didn't know if it was like, you know, extremely life threatening or what was going to happen. And we had three kids and she was scared to death and I was very scared too. So that was a really bad one. The year that I went to jail a few times for driving underage and I got caught with alcohol in the car and stuff like that. So
yeah, that you tell that that used to be a big part of the stuff you would always talk about probably. And then probably, yeah.
Like your parents those are, divorce or something.
How about that? Yeah. How about that? Was the worst year in the interfamily when you were young?
Yeah, my parents' divorce was pretty bad, but I don't know. That's what I'm saying. When you look at it in the year, the whole year, you go, well, these few days or these weeks or these months are pretty bad. But once you start getting away from bad situations, you see how maybe they shaped you or changed you or you needed to get out of those situations. Like with Joey, I miss a lot about our friendship. I really do. I miss him still sometimes. But the truth is, I mean, I am glad that we don't podcast with him anymore or work with him anymore. There were some things that were really difficult and tough. And so, I don't know. So that, I mean, besides that exact time, but I mean, that was really heavy. I mean, there was talk about suing us and treating, you know, all kinds of stuff. And the people that I thought I really cared about, the people that I would have said are also my best friends, and Joey and his family, and said really cruel, mean things about me. But I don't know. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't know what I was supposed to do in that situation. And then my divorce was really tough too, because I mean, this, you know, I thought, you know, I don't want to go off on a tangent just yet, but
just yet.
Well, one of the things
tangent.
That,
okay.
There's a very unique connection to both of those, and it's called Christianity. And I've been thinking how much Christianity fucked me over in my life and didn't teach me. It taught me that when things go bad, you pray or you just get back to church or you just get right with the Lord. And people even told me that in both situations, you got to get right with the Lord. You got to fix it. I mean, people were DMing me about Joey going, you got to fix this, man. You have to do this and this. And I was like, what? What are we like? I mean, both instances in my marriage too, people are like, well, you know, God can fix anything and he can do that. But Christianity was like, told me to not have sex before marriage. Told me to always stay married. Always do the right thing according to what the church says is the right thing. And so I just like, I feel like once the real shit hit the fan, it didn't provide me it had not provided me a real education or tools or resources to really go, wait a minute, hold on, maybe I shouldn't be in this. Maybe right. I'm not a terrible person. Maybe I'm not a fuck up loser. You know, I say a bunch of shit on this podcast, and I'm a silly person that loves to have fun. But I'm not a bad guy, and I mean I've been having to really drill it in my head since 2019. Toby, you aren't a bad guy. You aren't a bad guy. You don't try to fuck people over. You aren't a bad guy. And I feel like, wait a minute, but I was always trying to be a good guy. And then all of a sudden I wasn't or something. You know what I mean? Like it was just like that stuff really does kind of get me some. Like I don't know.
Yeah. So, that's a powerful summary, I think, of I mean, it's at least a shortcoming that it's just like there's so many times where I guess Christianity is like an enabling part of that mm-hmm. it just tells you to, it doesn't help you in some way set a boundary or move on or understand your own way. There's something that it inhibits in development. And if it's used wrong, it's like not about Christian. It's not, it sucks to say that's about Christianity. It's not, it's just a human behavior pattern built around Christianity that does that enable is right. it makes you have to is it I don't know it's like because it just makes you have to feel lower about yourself in some way that other people can take advantage of. Is that part of the pattern? Like and that you have to think bad enough about yourself that it enables other people to take advantage of that because you like are the idiot and the dummy and you always need help.
Well, that's
and
what I'm saying.
Keeps you in need a little bit.
I'm the one that has the goofy job, emo singer. And I'm the one that has, I am goofy and I like having fun and I do forget things and I'm silly and I'm not organized as other people and don't do things the same way. But I mean, I'm just saying in general, and I'm just talking about me. I think Christianity screwed over a lot of people. I think Christianity screwed over Joey. I think it screwed over my marriage. Mm-hmm. I think it screwed over a lot. Like, I mean,
wow, people are going to say you should now just like that's so self. I know what you're saying, but it's going to be sound self fulfilling that now you're bitter against Christianity because you lost. You know what I'm saying? You're
going to
sound like
not,
a bitter or something,
I'm
but
not,
you're not.
I'm not bitter. I feel bad for it. I feel bad. We have an amazing God, and I believe in Jesus, and I believe in redemption. I was telling. I forget who I was telling, but I realized this year the two most important things I think I stand on are forgiveness and redemption. I think those two tenets or ways of being are completely destroyed in this world, and I think Christianity helped destroy them, and I don't think people want to forgive, and I don't think people believe in redemption stories. They more believe in destruction stories.
Yeah.
You fuck up, you lose, and so I do believe that Jesus story is about forgiveness. I do believe it's about needing help, and when you get things wrong, it's okay, and you can come back from it, and it's all right. But I just, how the hell did we get here? I'm just saying. Overall, the big point is, there are really bad days, but if you look at a bigger picture, everything can get better. It really can.
Yeah.
I mean, even the worst things can get better, and that sounds like Tony Robbins self-help woo-woo stuff, but. I don't know.
It's true. I mean, this is totally cheesy to say, but I mean, every bad thing actually does have a silver lining.
Yeah.
Like it just does. Like there's always a little bit of a positive with any big negative. There just always is, no matter what. And I mean, that's same like with your divorce after you started kind of seeing some things about your relationship and start opening up to those things. Then you're like, okay, well maybe this is a little healthier for me, or maybe this is a little better that I don't have to be this way or act this way. So, and that's hard. I mean, obviously losing Joey was hard too, but then you start to see all the things that he was doing to you and pulling you down in these ways and making you feel a certain way about yourself. I mean, those are obviously silver linings through very difficult times. So I'm not saying it was easy.
There is post-traumatic growth from that stuff, you know? So it's just like the idea of being anti-fragile. Like if you're tough, you do grow from pain. Like that's pretty much an obvious fact. Like growth comes from that, you know, versus comfort zone, right? So that's the silver lining is often probably associated there.
Right. Well,
You know.
But Matt, what's your how's this year for you?
It's been kind of crazy for you too.
Yeah.
With your mother-in-law. A little
bit. Oh,
but,
yeah.
But she's been wild. But that's been like you a good it. Thing. That's not bad.
It's been so much fun. I mean, it's like that's when I can't speak that really negatively.
Did you say the other day that she might be your best friend?
No, I am her best friend. Y'all are my best friends, okay. But okay, all right. I am her best relationship she's ever had probably so far in life. That'd be my point of view. But I know that sounds crazy, but I'm involved with this person. I'm doing what is required to manage this relationship. Does that make sense? I am doing what is required, which is to be fully in that relationship to manage it.
Right.
Does that make sense? So I'm lost in the relationship. I'm fully enjoying, went to the doctor today and did all kinds of stuff. I mean, I'm in that world. So I don't have negative thoughts about it because I wouldn't want to be there or do it. So I make that my world that I am enjoying. So then I come to have positive feelings. Do you know what I mean? Like I have to really do something with somebody. You got to really do all that connecting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do, if you do it, it'll work. But that, you know what I mean? You have to actually, you know what I mean? It's like hard to really connect to people, but you can do it. And then you can do what you is required there. So yeah, Devin,
I just picture you and your mother-in-law walking around like Seattle together. People, let me tell you about my best friend. Y'all getting ice cream like together and laughing and just like, man, this is cool.
We went to the doctor today and she talked to this doctor a bunch and disagreed with her, you know, pretty much the whole time. This doctor, very nice doctor.
Yeah.
And she was really patient. We spent a lot of time listening to her say, you know, not actual words, but listening and like trying to understand her point of view and understand what she's saying, stuff like that. And we went through the whole thing and everything. And this doctor, we got rid of a bunch of her medicine. And we just like really, it was really, really, really good. And this lady was really nice. Like it went way, because the other doctor's point she had been absolute nightmares. So this was the first good one. And it was really good. The doctor walks out of the room, closes the door, and Nana says, "I hate her."
That's
the first thing she said.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. I die laughing, you know.
Sweetest lady.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's crazy, but it's fun. I mean, it's fun in all the ways. But I don't know if it's been the worst year of my life or anything like that, but it's like, I don't think at all it's been the worst year, but crazy. Yeah. It just feels like things are changing and it's really crazy. And it is true that Toby's divorce is very impactful to me. I don't see what that isn't. It's not crazy because Toby is a big force in my life and Jessica is half of his life. So how does that not like, whether I talk to Jessica ever or not, she's the counterweight on a system that I'm in the mobile over a baby's crib with, and she's one of the big weights in it. She's out of it. That's volatile for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's a system. Everything's connected. Everybody's connected. So it's like, you know, the amount of change is just, you know, that kind of thing. And just, I don't know. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, you're right. Because I mean, this isn't meant to sound self-centered or anything like that, but Toby being one of our best friends and his sheer magnitude of emotion in general is what we've always kind of lived with, and we know how to, you know, manage that. And it's not, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's just Toby. And then you put the divorce in and that magnifies emotion. And then we're trying to, you know, kind of balance the friendship there. And then him coming out of the divorce and trying to move on in different ways. And then it's just, you know, from our perspective, it's not hard. It's not hard. But
your background prediction information about the world is not like my predictions of how the world works are not true anymore.
No. No. It's just, right. I feel real shaky. Like I'm on like some board that's kind of on the ocean. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. 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 Like, right.
Exactly. Where are we going? Where are we going?
But it's so familiar because we've known you since before you were in this particular relationship, which is a really big one.
Right.
So it's like, yeah.
Right.
It's a giant, like, it's like, oh yeah, but everything, like there's people that didn't know you before, but me and Devin knew you yeah. well before through a lot of volatility and other cycles. So it's like, oh yeah, I can remember. It makes me remember you before in some ways. It's like, yeah. oh, there's something I hadn't seen in a really freaking long time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I definitely, that's what I'm saying. I mean, my divorce, I think I've handled it and she's handled it about as good as you can. There's been ups and downs, obviously, and everything. But I mean, if we had to get divorced, this probably is the best possible scenario. I mean, I get to see my kids all the time. We just both went together and saw the Allerton Christmas lights. I mean, we're treating each other really as best we can. There are ups and downs, and it gets hard here and there, but overall, that's what I'm saying. Like months ago, I was at like a very low point, and you know, and I didn't even know what to do. Like I didn't even talk about it on the podcast for a very long time, because at least a long time for me, because I usually say stuff day of. You know what I mean? Like when something
it's pretty
happens,
fast, I think
I'm gonna hop on the podcast and talk about it. But although it was extremely hard, in some ways, I feel like I had a friend tell me this, that after your divorce, sometimes maybe you were seeing in black and white and while you're married, and then you kind of can see in color again. And there's parts mm-hmm. of me that are coming back because they need to, because I am a single person again. And there's parts of me that I'm finding again and learning about myself. So I'm saying there is a real chance for real bad and real good from all of this. And I'm mm-hmm. trying to find the real good. I really am. I'm becoming more clear in lots of ways. And also I think maybe I'll die before the end of the year. Like I'm still like, I don't know what is going to happen in my life or anything. I feel like, you know, but it's really nice to go, wait a minute, I can be me and that is good.
It's crazy.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. for a long time, I don't know if I thought being me is good. And some of that stems from how tough it was in 2019 and all of those things. Like, I was like, wait, because people will tell you stuff about yourself. Lots of people, especially because we are decent. We are very small, but public, like y'all were saying. And so lots of people will tell you stuff about yourself. And that's just us. I can't imagine if you were super famous or anything. And I know people that don't have podcasts or in bands, they're just working 9 to 5s and stuff like that. People will tell you stuff about yourself, and you have to literally figure out, is it true or not? And so I'm just been figuring that stuff out. So as far as the year goes, is a really tough year. Really was one of the toughest years of my whole life. But that doesn't mean it was the worst. And I wouldn't have said that probably a few months ago. If you'd asked me this question a few months ago, I would have said a lot different. Mm-hmm. But just a little bit of time helps me go, wait a minute, I'm going to be okay, and I'm a good dude. And that and part of me even feels like I'm being egotistical or, hyping myself up because I say I'm a good dude. I can really say, honestly, I'm not. Like, I'm a good guy that fucks up, but also really does try to do the right thing. And that's all you can ask anybody. I do try to treat people as best I can. And when I get it wrong, I try to even apologize or fix it. And I'm, all of those things. So, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like Devin went through actual death of his dad. So, I mean, that's, you know, even though, you know, Ronnie was sick and like yeah. you said, it wasn't like completely out of the blue. That doesn't make it hurt less that he's gone.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. My brother died like 10 yeah. days earlier.
Right.
And so that kind of feels like the same year, even though technically I guess it's not. But
we'll let you include it.
Two weeks before. So, it's one of those things like it's probably, well, I mean, it doesn't feel like it, but it's probably one of the worst years of my life. I don't have many bad years that I remember very well.
And sometimes you don't notice it in the moment and you come back and you go, oh, that was terrible. Like some of the pandemic yeah. stuff, like I was like, you remember in the pandemic when everybody was like, you know what? I actually think I like this better. Yep. yep, right. This is better. And then you look back and like, that was fucked. Right. Yes. But at the time you were like, yep, this is actually awesome that we're actually at home locked down. You know, it's like, you remember that?
Yeah, totally. I will say this though, Devin's, I kind of think you should, there's a tagline to yours that almost rolled in. Like, you, if you count like last November, December.
Yeah.
When everything was happening, you were trying to get into your house, and mm-hmm. then your brother died and a bunch of different stuff. And then your dad and the whole house situation where you had to get out of your rental, but also you had to get moved, and literally you had to like move your whole house and then go to a funeral. Like it was unbelievable. Like it was a pure exhaustion. Like there was, you were constantly having to go.
You'll remember that.
And then your dad died.
Yeah. You know what I mean? 40 years, you'll remember that feeling of like, I was a zombie just doing stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It really felt like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that. It feels like about a month to 2 month stretch there that I was, that's the most stressful time of my entire life.
For sure. Yeah.
Those 2 months, because I don't really get stressed very often, but I was very stressed and I could only think about those things for 2 months time. Right. And I remember, like you said, man, I was a zombie. I remember Toby helped me move some stuff, but my dad was on a ventilator and I was moving stuff from one house to the other before I had to go down there.
And you had to move.
I had to move.
Right.
So that, it feels like so long ago now.
Yeah,
but in that moment, I was like, "Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can get through this." But then you go, "Well, of course I'll get through it," and then see.
Yeah, because was not getting through it. Like, you know what I mean? I guess there's people in places where they can check out or something. Like, I'm not even judging anybody who does, but I'm saying what would not making it? But you have like, there's no not making it.
Yeah,
like you can say, I'm not going to be able to handle this. Well, I imagine you will though.
Right.
So
right.
That's whatever that feels like. It's like a zombie for a period of time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
And I do want to clarify the Christianity fucking me over. That's what I'm saying. I actually feel like my heart was softened this year in some ways for Christianity. Like my neighbor Bill is just the most coolest guy and wants me to come to his church, but it just has the most real, raw faith of probably maybe anybody I even met before. Like it's just a real faith in God. And I have been able to keep my faith in God. I do believe in Jesus and needing a savior and redemption and forgiveness. That's what I was saying earlier. But I'm just saying the whole system did not give me real tools and resources to work with my tribe, my people, or what was I really feel lost sometimes. Like, wait a minute. Oh, I'm supposed to just go pray. That's it. Right. Like, what about like really, like sometimes I feel like it taught me to pray, which is, in some ways, like running away from the situation. Let me go pray and do that. Wait, instead of facing the thing right there. And prayer is good. I prayed I went to my closet at my lowest point. This is crazy. I think I even said it on the podcast. I can't remember. I was so low.
I hadn't heard the lowest point story yet.
Well, I was.
If you already got a rock bottom moment, let's just clear out the time. It's the end of the year. Tell us your rock bottom moment.
I'm not going to go into all those details. But I mean, my marriage was falling, was ending, and I was doing everything I could to save the marriage. You see what I'm saying? I want you to hear me. I was trying to save the marriage. I don't know if our relationship needed saving, and I thought it, I don't know. I guess maybe it didn't, and that's really hard to say, but I was the Christian background I have, the marriage, you have to stay married. You don't get divorced. That's awful. And the kids and everything, you know, and you're saying all this stuff in my masculinity and my manhood and my role as a leader, even in my family, you know, all of those things are coming in. And I just was so low. And I can remember I was standing there trying to get a t-shirt and I just started praying but for real, like there was nothing, 'cause I had nothing. And so that's what I'm saying. I do believe prayer is powerful. I do believe it's important. And I didn't have anywhere. I wasn't running from anything. I didn't mean to start praying. I just was so low trying to get a t-shirt out of my closet. And then I realized I actually went into a closet and prayed like they did in the Bible. You know, I was like, whoa. After I prayed, I was like, oh, I was in my closet in a quiet time praying for real. And I was like, that, and it, it really did help me. Like, I didn't hear from God. No one knew. This was no one, you know, that point, hadn't told you guys. When there was a time where y'all didn't know. I mean, I didn't tell y'all for a while. Because I didn't
How long was that?
I didn't tell y'all for a month or two, I think.
Was it that long?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, June was when we really started talking about it. And I didn't tell you till, I think, maybe.
We didn't find out till, was it August?
It wasn't August. It was at least September, maybe October, guys. It might have been the beginning of October.
No, because we knew in September on that tour, didn't we?
It was when you were driving out. It was right before you drove out for that tour.
So when was that tour? So in September is when I told y'all. You sure?
It was when we started the West Coast leg of Label Fest.
That must have been September.
No, yeah.
Are you sure? Okay. Well, okay, so September, right? But, I mean, there was several months there where I didn't say much, and I was like, maybe we're working this out. Maybe I can fix this. Maybe I can save the marriage. Maybe I can do it, and maybe God will help me, or you know, maybe there'll be a change of heart or whatever. And I'm just saying, like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, in some ways, it's been, you know, I didn't have the strength or tools or resources to maybe end the marriage, and so in some ways, it was done for me, and maybe that will prove to be a good thing. I'm not sure. You know, I'm not. Yeah. I mean.
That's what I was going to agree with you about Christianity. Like, it feels like, and it's this way with a bunch of stuff, but the focus is so, well, at least, you know, it used to be, and maybe not quite as much as it used to be. The focus was so hard on do not get divorced, but there was never really any real discussion or even encouragement about working on your marriage. You know what I mean? Like, the only thing they ever say is husbands, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church. That was it. There was never any, what can we do to improve our marriage? Like, actually think about your marriage or work on your marriage daily, weekly, you know, monthly. Those are things you just take for granted. Yeah. So, point being, they're not really in a sense, your faith isn't really actively involved in your marriage until it needs to be.
That's just functions, you know what I mean? As the police part of it, where it's just like, well, you need to, you have to excuse stuff and deal with that on your end, but you got to hold it together according to the rule. And then if there is marriage help stuff, it's so self-helpy that's not really, that's more about something else than actual help, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
crazy. You know what's real crazy too is Toby is not married and my dad is getting married. That's another one you wouldn't predict.
That's another crazy one.
I know.
Because my dad's the age that Toby's already saying he wishes, hopes he's dead before. But now my dad's going into a marriage. You know what I mean? So that's pretty. I talked to my dad today on the phone. It was hilarious.
Really?
Yes. Toby, you'll like this one. So I'm talking to my dad today. It's on topic. Here we go. I was talking to my dad today. We talked about, because we're going to go to visit in South Carolina, but he, I don't know how he brought it up or exactly how he heard, but he said, so he asked who went on the cruise. I told him he'd go on the cruise. He said, who went on the cruise? I was like, well, the whole band. And so I went through and named everybody's name so he could ask about each person. And when Toby came up, he said, he's like, Toby's wife didn't go or something about Toby's divorce. So it's like, he knows you're divorced, but I don't know. Lord. I didn't tell him. I didn't have that conversation, but I probably did my sister. She told him whatever. But anyway, he knew you were divorced. And so he asked about that today. And I told him, you know, I just like said something about it or whatever. And he goes, okay. And he lives where? I was like, he lives in Champaign. He's like, okay. You know, he's just doing that thing where he was going through my friends and status updating them. And your divorce is part of it. And he says, and they got, what was the kids? And he went through the kids and said, the kids' ages, okay. And then he said, you know what he said next? He says, now what does he do for a living?
Lord. What?
What did you say?
I said, he's the lead singer of Emery. I said, and he has a and we do the podcast. He has the same job as me, Dad.
Why did he say that?
I don't know.
Well, he was probably thinking, you know, some of the guys have other jobs. Though.
He was dead serious.
I know. But, you know, like he probably thinks some of the other guys have side jobs, so maybe Toby's doing something else too.
Now, what does he do for a living? That's what he said. It's like, you must think I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, that. I don't know what it means or if that's whatever, but I thought it was, I was like.
Does he think you don't have a job, really?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that must be what he thinks. And so I was like, okay, so we're going to come there. And I was, you know, I'm connecting to my dad. I'm really trying to connect with him and everything. I said something, I was talking about how it was important to me to bring the kids. And that's why he's asking, what are we going to do when we're there? And I said, I got into something that was kind of sentimental. And I was like, it's really important for me to bring the kids there and see where I grew up and what, you know, just so they'll know, understand themselves better. I'm not trying to go out and doing stuff. I just want to see you and your environment and Rita and, you know, and we're not trying to do anything, just hang out there and just so the kids can understand y'all and where I'm from and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I said something and it ended kind of sentimental, like, you know, and just, you know, just, I want them to have that experience because it's really something or whatever. Put in a new water main. He says, and then he talked about his pump, how his pump broke for 5 or 10 minutes straight about the, you know, the gallons per minute, it's 22 gallons per minute, by the way, that it pumps up the hill. Can you believe that? 22 gallons a minute. Because, you know, you could do you can run a whole house on 4 gallons a minute, but this was getting 22 up the hill from the new pump, from the well. Funny. So.
You think
he told me all
you think
this
he was
stuff.
Just avoiding the conversation, or you think he was just kind of like, you know?
I don't know.
Dads, man, they don't like going there.
Nope.
They don't like going there unless you make them.
Yeah.
But that's crazy.
Well, okay. So what do you think? What do you think next year is going to be like?
Oh, good question.
God knows. I mean.
Okay, let's break it down into categories. What will next year be like, do you think, for Emory, our band Emory?
Well, me and Devin just worked that out entirely on a phone call with Katie a few minutes ago. We mapped out all the
things. Thanks for including me. What the
we
fuck?
We were talking about, we went through the, it's like basically, and I don't know if we talked about it too much, but the whole year next year is In Shallow Seas We Sail. I mean, that's just basically the whole year. That's like, it's not an anniversary date per se, but... You know, we can kind of almost...
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
App the whole year on all the things that will be involved with that, but lots of shows of that, you know, stuff to announce and stuff like that. But we're trying to get a grip on that. But, you know, we just got back from shooting it in Tampa, and then we're going to bring it back here. We're going to try and book a show to make that thing that In Shallow Seas We Sail in a club to be really cool, and then do that act, the In Shallow Seas We Sail, you know, in as many cities as we can, you know, get to, mm-hmm. in whatever way we can get there. So that's the basic outline of Emory next year, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think for Emory, it'll probably be a really good year. I mean, it seems like this year was good, and it probably feels pretty good to most bands that are still around after COVID. It probably feels like, man, these are great. But it feels like there really is a, you know, resurgence or whatever. So I think next year will be pretty good, and we got a lot of stuff happening and trying to do new stuff with different people. So I think it'll be a really good year. Probably the biggest we've ever been. That's what I say. I think we have more listeners, more fans.
More total global participation.
Total global participation, yeah, next year than ever before.
But maybe we had bigger years where we were in the middle of like with the scene hype and the, you know, like 2005 was a big year.
Yeah, you might get a bigger guarantee for a club show. You headline a big show, more people come to that show specifically.
But with the technology, we're like really connected. Like Emory, the entity is really out there in the world in 2023.
We have more monthly listeners than we've ever had. We have 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds coming to our shows. I mean, that's, you know, our fans, kids are fans.
Toby gets a million like bras thrown on stage every night now.
Constant bras and panties.
No, I hope it's whitey tighties.
You get a few boxers.
I'd love some boxer briefs, some whitey tighties. That would be nice. Be nice to be recognized. You know what I mean? But I think you're right. There's a decent chance that Emory's biggest year ever is 2023.
We're going to play more shows next year than we have in a while.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And we have a really special digital event coming out this year.
Yeah.
We have a ton of really amazing shows. There's a lot of music that we're creating. And Emoryland is going great. You should join it right now. Support us. Support this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's all tied in together. And I think that it's kind of crazy that that's the case. That somehow, is this our year where we stuck around longer than everybody? Every fucking band breaks up and then comes back together and all stuff. I think this is our year. I wouldn't say no. I think this is our year where it's the biggest year Emory's ever had. It might not be, we're not going to be, you know, headlining Coachella, but we might actually really make an imprint this year with our band. I think that's really cool.
It is crazy when, like, when we're talking about,
we're going to need the next Walls, you know, for that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're talking about
next album. Sorry, go ahead.
With JT, is you just never know when something might catch on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, it could be whatever.
Like, No Doubt was a band for 10 years before they got big. And we were a band for 20 years before we got big.
Right. Exactly. Or that lady that had a song in the 80s that got big on TikTok, and now she's massive. I'm just saying.
What about us all? Like a deal with God. I mean, what if somebody picks up an Emory song for a Netflix show that blows up in 2023?
You still got to write that song, and we got to own that song. That's the difference, according to Uncle
maybe
JT.
Maybe it'll be one that we own.
Right.
Uncle JT says you got to own it. He's right.
Yeah.
So, but we got to write one that we own that's better than Walls.
Right.
True. All right. We'll do that old CTA list.
I think we're basically there. The idea is that you should join Emoryland because we're about to go. We're obviously psyching ourselves up to go into development mode here because we're wrapping the year. We're about to go viral next year. We got to go into the mode of creating. Like, I'm saying that to project it out there. I want to write the best stuff we've ever written. And we're going into that year in January doing that. And we got a bunch of plans for exactly the material we want to write and how we're going to roll it out. So we'll start writing January, and as it rolls out, it'll go to Emoryland before it's anywhere near the public. So now's a good time to join Emoryland, and you could just do it as a gift for yourself at the end of the year. Would be nice. It would be nice to do it for a loved one, because there's going to be good stuff coming out. There's good stuff in there, like our past album live tapings and music that's not released publicly, and we're about to put more music in there as we make it. And if not, how about just a tip for a killer year of podcasts? For free, like you haven't, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You've been listening. It's the end of the year. You've been listening all year.
Yep.
It'd be a tip if nothing else, and you get part
tip of
due.
His dick.
So you get to get the tip of this dick by just joining Emoryland.
Yes.
So
you
just
can.
A tip. Just if you've enjoyed the podcast this year, how many hours have
it's
you
the
spent
gift
with
that,
us?
If just join Emoryland, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
How
all
much
my,
did
all
the barista work to get that freaking $2? Though
I know,
do you know what I'm saying? Like you have how many hours listened to this? Sorry,
right.
But you know, just end of the year. This is
also this podcast kind of started this year, so that was
We went. Right? It's all over this year.
It went from Bad Christian, kind of transitioned, and then became It's All Over sometime.
Yeah.
So that's why we keep it.
I still wish
go ahead.
I really still wish we'd have called this podcast "Bastard with No Answers."
Yeah,
if we'd have just done that, I think it would have just been, it really would have made this year better for me. But we named it It's All Over. But Bastard with No Answers would be really dope. Another way you can support us, Marriage Supply, if you use code ALLOVER, You get 10% off. I mean, we, you know what? Since Black Friday, we've been selling like crazy. So order now. What more do you want under your Christmas tree than something that vibrates? You know what I'm saying? You want something that doesn't vibrate under your Christmas tree or something that vibrates? Do you want, you know, after the kids open their presents and everybody's kind of stuffed with food and stuff, you know, you can, you know, after you take a little nap, a little afternoon delight is pretty nice on Christmas Day. I won't be having that. But use code all over for 10% off at Mary Supply. And one of the other benefits of joining Emeryland, you get your name read on this podcast.
People keep joining, and here's some people that have joined.
Yep. And this time they sent in their favorite, like, Christmas murder.
Ooh, Christmas murder. All right. Yeah, James Cook.
Well, 37, his favorite is 37-year-old Patty White offered her down on her luck. 37-year-old Patty White offered down on her luck Michelle O'Dowd a place to stay over the holidays. So is nice of Patty. Michelle was delighted at the Christmas spirit being shown to her. But Patty White had an ulterior motive, one that involved stealing all of her new housemate's credit cards, killing her, and leaving her among a trashed Christmas tree.
So that's
his favorite.
It's one of my favorites.
That's a good
one. Yeah.
Next.
Justin Hedrick.
This happened in Victoria, Australia in 2013, Christmas Day. Instead of spending the day with his loved ones, William Stevenson pays the ultimate price for keeping poor company as his friends, meth addicts Danielle Kerr and Darren Lewis, kill him in one of the most violent ways conceivable. They stab him in the face, bash his skull, and set him on fire.
Jeez.
Wow. Rough.
That's rough.
On Christmas?
Christmas Day.
Wow. Is the murder rate down on Christmas Day? That's all I want to know about humanity. Like, there is hope if on Christmas Day there are less murders than other days.
Well, how many countries celebrate Christmas?
I'm just saying, in the United States,
okay,
are murders down on Christmas Day? They have to be, right?
I would hope so.
As long as they're down,
I don't know.
Then I'm okay.
Bitter. Some people are bitter.
If murders are up on Christmas, yikes!
I'm gonna look it up right now.
It might be hard. Anyway,
read the next
Ashley,
name, Devin.
Ashley Shiverdeck.
Shiverdeck.
Yes, Shiverdeck.
Shiver me deck.
I've never seen that.
Shiver me deck.
Shiverdeck.
I like that name. This happened December 28th, 1987. Ronald Green
That's
Simmons.
That's not Christmas Day, but still. It's a Christmas murder.
No, yeah.
I'll count it.
Ronald Gene Simmons walked into a law firm in Russellville, Arkansas, and shot dead a receptionist who he was infatuated with, but who had spurned his advances. Then he went into the office of an oil company, shot two executives, killing one and injuring the other. He then drove to a convenience store and a former place of work and shot two more people who would both survive, thank God. Ooh. Finally, he would do the same in the Woodline Motor Freight Company, shooting and wounding a woman. He then sat down and waited for the police to arrest him. And then on the 25th of June, 1990, 3 years later, then Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton signed his execution warrant. Isn't that wild? By lethal injection. All right.
Well, that seems like you deserve it kind of to me, to be honest. Like, if you've murdered people and then went on a car ride to clear your head, but instead you drove to other places to murder other people you had past grudges with, that's pretty severe. You're just in the murdering, you know, mood at that point. That's kind of yikes.
Yeah.
It's sus. It's cringe, no matter what. All right. Micah Witherell.
Christy Bemu was just 15 when he was tortured and drowned in his bath by his own sister, Maggie Lee, and her twisted boyfriend, Eric Bakubi. It was on Christmas Day 2010 when the couple finally killed poor Christy after sustained and brutal four-day torture session at their flat in London. When his body was found, more than 130 separate injuries were counted.
That's probably worse than the last guy.
Man, these Emerylanders
and
sure
those
love
face
these murders
stabbers were actually worse too.
Yeah, was that the last name?
You know, one more.
Oh God!
What sick act of violence does Michael Franklin prefer
Michael
to think
Franklin,
about
you
all
sick
the holidays?
Fuck. You sick fuck, Michael. It was Christmas Eve of 2004.
What fills his head this holiday?
Christmas Eve 2004 in the small city of Covina, just outside of L.A., parties dominated the neighborhood. At 1129 East Knollcrest Drive, had around 25 close friends and family enjoying each other's company. At around 1130, a knock at the door came. Standing on the other side of the door, Santa Claus. At least that's what the 8-year-old girl who answered the door thought, but it wasn't St. Nick. It was a man called Bruce Pardo. The unstable and violent ex-husband of one of the women at the party. He was holding a 9mm pistol in one hand and a flamethrower in the other. He also had three handguns in his possession. Cruelly and methodically, he went about shooting everyone in sight before setting the house afire. 9 people would die. 3 would be badly injured. Pardo left, driving to his brother's home 30 miles away. He planned to detonate a series of handmade explosives and then make his escape to Canada. But the fire had caused his Santa suit to melt onto him, causing severe third-degree burns. Instead, he decided to put a bullet in his head.
Wow. Michael, damn. Michael Franklin.
Sick
damn.
Fuck, Michael.
The polyester suit got that Santa in the end.
Isn't that crazy?
The real villain was polyester the whole time.
I just don't understand the real thoughts behind, yeah, I'll use a flamethrower. That just seems real dangerous. You know what I mean? Like, it's just going to cost
over the line.
I mean, that
it is over the line.
That sounds a bit much. So, anyway.
I was looking up holiday murders.
Oh, well, that's enough, Devin. Okay, so well, you got this, the stat.
I love it.
You got the stat.
Well, it doesn't give me like a strong number stat, but it gives
I'm really nervous. It's like people go insane on the holidays and it's worse.
Yes.
Fuck.
You're exactly right. Now, they say Christmas Day isn't necessarily worse than other days.
That's horrible.
But like the shopping times are real bad.
That's the more murders.
Like,
okay.
They said like Black Friday. Okay. But that kind of is correlated. But they say, what do you think is the absolute number one most violent day of the year?
I'm going to say July 4th.
That's a good guess because that is
it's just a lot of alcohol.
It's high.
It's got to be correlated with alcohol. Yeah. Where's the other highest alcohol day of the year?
That's not the highest.
St. Patrick's Day.
That's another good one, but not the
highest.
It's
got to be alcohol is the highest correlation.
Well, partly.
What else?
I mean,
Halloween?
Okay, so it's a confluence of alcohol and what? What's the other factor for a hint? Give us another axis.
I don't know.
New Year's Eve?
So it is a high alcohol day. It is a high alcohol day, right?
Yes. New Year's Day.
New Year's Day is number one most violent day.
Whoa.
Does that include suicides?
I don't know.
But that's kind of crazy because you drink the night before, though. You know, New Year's Day is kind of like your chill day, right? Like,
but you just don't want to do this. You just go, I'm not doing this one. I'm not on. I'm going to.
Fuck this year.
We're going to do something different.
This year.
Yeah.
Every year starts out with the most violent day.
Fuck this.
I mean, the whole year.
So, but that means that there are people who are going like, I'm going to do something real bad. And then they've been meaning to do it for a while. You know how you've been meaning to lose 10 pounds?
It's their New Year's resolution.
Right. You know how you've been like, you know, I'm going to have to start getting in that cold tank again.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
But you postpone all of like the October murders all the way until January 1st, and you got to get back to business.
Yeah.
I get it.
That's it.
That's wow. All right. Oh, well, we're going to head over to part two. This has been a hell of a year. We're taking the rest of the year off.
Yeah.
We're taking a break, you fuckers. So you take a break too, but that doesn't mean you can't join Emeryland and get you get Christmas music, you get our EP, you get all the part dues immediately. You can listen to all the part dues. If you haven't joined, you get all the part dues for the rest of the year. It'll fill you up. So
and back ones. Backwards.
Yeah.
And back.
That's what I'm saying.
Back
and back. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And future.
So. So join today, you fucks. You sick fucks, or I swear to God, what I do on January 1st will make everybody else pale in comparison to the shit I'll fucking do.
I've been suppressing some acts of violence for over a month that are due eventually.
They are coming up.
It's so funny because I promise you on January 1st at 2 p.m., I will be sleeping on the couch. I will not. Who can murder and do terrible things that day? That just feels exhausting and I want to chill. I'm not going to go out in the cold and champagne and do bad shit. Good Lord. All right, we'll see you at part two.